A lot of professing Christians say they have a biblical worldview, but who really has a biblical worldview? We'll talk about it on this edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. My guest today is Dr. Owen Strand. He currently serves as Provost and Research Professor of Theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Conway, Arkansas, formerly having been an Associate Professor of Christian Theology at Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. And just this week, he is part of a launch at Family Research Council of the Center for Biblical Worldview. And you can find a lot more out about that at frc.org/worldview. That's frc.org/worldview. And he's formerly president of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And he's got a new book coming out this very summer entitled Christianity and Wokeness, Exposing the Woke Secular Ideologies That Have Increasingly Infiltrated Christian Universities, Denominations, Helping to Provide Resources for Pastors, Churches, and Christian Families. Dr. Strand, thanks for joining us today on Generations.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Why is it that so many people who think they have a biblical worldview really don't?
That's a good question. I think it is in part because people assume, perhaps in America in particular, that if they claim the name of Christian and they've showed up to church on maybe Christmas and Easter, then they more or less, rounding up on a curve, have what it takes to be considered a Christian. We're very thankful for people to have any exposure to church we can get them. But just going to church, even just being raised in a Christian family, going to a Christian school, going to church a bunch of times, going to Christian summer camp, whatever it may be, that in no way makes you a Christian, makes you a born-again believer, A, and B, in no way guarantees that you think about the world in a comprehensively biblical and Christian way. That actually takes a lot of work. Christianity is not supposed to be a microwavable faith. Yes, anybody can get saved in a minute. It's absolutely true, and we want to always hold to that. You can get saved on the spot where you stand in a conversation as you hear the gospel of Christ proclaimed. That's actually not the same thing as having a biblical worldview. The two aren't opposed to one another, but learning to think about all of life in a God-centered way really does take time, and it takes a process that we call discipleship, where you're trained in the Christian faith. Ideally, you're in a local church community, you're a member of a local church, you have people around you modeling the Christian faith, not perfectly, but nonetheless importantly. To be a true disciple means that you are comprehensively placed under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now you're seeking to learn all the ways of your master. And that's what we are as Christians. We're not people who have done God a favor and have opted into his lifelong and then eternal salvation plan, and we get a bunch of rewards for doing so, but we can live any way we want. No, as a Christian, if you're truly born again, that means that essentially God has claimed you for his own. We're not used to talking that way really in Christian churches today, but that's what it means. It means now that you have a Lord, you have a master, you have a king, and you follow him and you serve him and you do his will to the fullest possible extent. And that means getting to know him, getting to know his will, getting to know what he desires, getting to know what pleases him, what he likes. The way we do that really is by studying scripture, by being a member of a local church, being under sound biblical preaching, by trying to learn all the Christian doctrine we can that's grounded in the Word of God. And then there's this whole other realm of life where a lot of people aren't Christians. It's where we work. It's where we go to school. It's the public square. And we need training for that as well. We need training for the gray areas and the hard questions of life. And so Christian discipleship seeks to take all that biblical truth and then apply it to some of those gray areas and those hard questions of life. But you can't get any of that if you're not following Christ, if you're not in a church, and if you're not wholeheartedly pursuing God. It's hard enough, by the way, even when you are doing those things. That's what it means to be a disciple, to wholeheartedly pursue God.
When Family Research Council announced the launch of the Center for Biblical Worldview, they named two senior fellows. You're one of them, and the other is Dr. George Barna, who is known for his pioneering survey research among evangelicals since 1981. He is also associated with the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. He examined what is a biblical worldview and how those in America who profess to have a biblical worldview oftentimes do not, as it is revealed through a battery of questions to determine whether someone legitimately does have a biblical worldview. He has a number of definitions of subgroups in the survey that I want to describe and have you elaborate on before we get into the actual statistics so we know what we're dealing with. First of all, SAGECONS. It's an acronym for Spiritually Active Governance Engaged Conservative Christians. And they represent, according to George Barna, 8 to 9% of the general public. These are folks who are registered to vote, paid above average levels of attention to news about the government and politics, were conservative regarding fiscal and social issues, self-identified as Christian, were born again, and were deeply committed to practicing their faith. Again, they're called SAGECONS. What would you, Dr. Strand, say about the SAGECONS?
Those are people who are invested and they're plugged in, they're engaged, and you're really thankful for people like that who are working hard to develop a biblical worldview. You recognize that those are people who are trying very hard, not just to sit up straight on Sunday morning and listen to the preacher, as they should, as we all should, but they're also trying to apply their Christian faith to the public square. I'm very thankful that there is this group that George Barna has identified that is not only seeking to be biblical in terms of their core commitments doctrinally, but then they're trying to live out their faith as a meaningful Christian conservative. That's a quick take on that group.
Another subgroup that George Barna notes are the integrated disciples. These are people who have a biblical worldview based upon the American Worldview Inventory and based on answers to more than four dozen worldview questions covering both beliefs and behaviors. The current assessment suggests that just 6% of adults are integrated disciples compared to 8 or 9% who are SAGECONS or Spiritually Active Governance Engaged Conservative Christians. In your view, Dr. Strand, are the integrated disciples really the epitome of what it means to be a true Christian with a biblical worldview?
Yeah, that's what we're really after. We're not just after a laudatory fusion of Christianity and conservatism. I think that's healthy in different respects. I think it's publicly sound in different ways. But what we're really after, per Dr. Barna's term, is that integration of our Christianity into every part of our life, such that we're not linking our Christianity to different systems, whatever level of truth may be in them, relatively speaking, on a spectrum. But we're actually now seeking to bring the truth of God to bear like a flower growing from the ground in every area of our life. And as I understand the survey and George Barna's work, that's what we're after. That's what he sees us being after at a center like this one at FRC. And that is certainly what someone like me is after as a theologian and one who tries to speak to the church. We want people not to fuse their Christianity with other systems. We want them to really integrate their faith, a biblical truth that is, into every area of their life. That's what we're after at the summit.
A third primary subgroup is described as born-again Christians. The survey data refer to these people based on their belief that they will go to heaven when they die only because they have confessed their sins to God and have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. At first blush, Dr. Strand, it would appear that this subgroup, born-again Christians, are on the first rung of the Christian ladder. Is that a fair description?
Yes, as I understand it, that's a fair description. There are a good number of people out there who certainly profess to have a living faith in Jesus Christ. And from everything we can tell, that faith is real. And they want to follow Christ by what they say and to some extent by what they do. That is not enough to ensure that you have a biblical worldview. And here, Adam, is where we really, I think, see where the rubber meets the road, because a lot of people in this country still, even in 2021, profess to be a born-again believer, but then that's where things effectively stop. In some cases, that's because they're not really being trained to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not being trained to pursue Christ wholeheartedly in every dimension of their life according to the scripture. So some churches just aren't emphasizing discipleship. In other cases, there's a variety of circumstances at play, including perhaps a lack of interest, a lack of zeal, a lack of desire. And that is a major challenge in American Christianity. It is the case that a good number of people out there go to a summer camp, go to a youth group, go to a Christian college or university, the list goes on, and they profess to have had a transformative, eternity-altering encounter with Christ. They have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash away their sin, the resurrection of Jesus Christ to give them life over the grave. That's their profession. But then for a variety of reasons, things don't necessarily progress much from there. That is really the group that I and others at the center at FRC want to zero in on. And we want to say it's wonderful to profess faith in Jesus Christ. That is the fundamental demarcation line in spiritual terms, crossing from hell to heaven. And yet that's not really enough. You have to keep pressing in order to know Jesus Christ in an ever deepening way as a disciple. That's what we're after. That's what we want people to understand. We want them to develop a holistic worldview that they live out in faithfulness to God.
Dr. Owen Strand is my guest. He serves as provost and research professor of theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Conway, Arkansas, and has just been named as one of two fellows at the brand new Center for Biblical Worldview at Family Research Council, along Dr. George Barna. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson on this edition of Generations Radio. You can learn more at their website, frc.org/worldview. That's frc.org/worldview. When we come back, now that we've defined the terms, we're going to get into this fascinating survey and look at these subgroups which we've just defined in terms of how likely they are to have a legitimately biblical worldview.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. We continue now with Dr. Owen Strand. He's the Provost and Research Professor of Theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Conway, Arkansas, just named one of two senior fellows at Family Research Council's brand new Center for Biblical Worldview, along with Dr. George Barna. And we're going to have you on again at another time to talk about your new book, Christianity and Wokeness, that will be debuting this very summer. But until then, let's talk about some of these fascinating stats related to this biblical worldview survey that Dr. George Barna oversaw at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. The big picture is just 6% of adults and 8% of those who call themselves Christians possess a biblical worldview. That's the big headline. How do you analyze those two stats?
You know, I analyze them in terms of the mission and charge of the church and our corresponding lack of attention to what we've been talking about over the course of this interview, Adam, and that is discipleship. I think there is a direct connection between the formation of a biblical worldview and meaningful Christian discipleship. Meaningful Christian discipleship does not just mean showing up to church two or three Sundays out of the month and exiting the premises 1.5 minutes after the pastor's sermon concludes. Meaningful Christian discipleship means comprehensively pursuing the glory of God in all your life, which starts with, yes, going to church, yes, being a member of a church, and then soaking up all the sound biblical teaching you can get. Of course, even as we're talking about individual Christian men and women and their zeal for discipleship, we need to say this as well. There need to be churches that want to provide such teaching and training for Christians. And I think what we're seeing in this survey from George Barna is that there just is not much of a focus on taking people past the ground floor level of Christianity. So great, we've gotten somebody to confess Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord. That's wonderful. Praise God for that. But now there are 25 more floors they need to go up as a Christian. They need to learn a lot more truth and not just stay in the basement for the next 35 years of their lives.
I love that visual. Well, now let's get into these subgroups, which we defined at the start of our conversation. SAGECONS, again, that's an acronym for Spiritually Active Governance Engaged Conservative Christians. They are, as I think we've defined it, a step below the integrated disciples who are truly ones with a solid biblical worldview, but the SAGECONS are moving in the right direction. We'll give them credit for that. 88% of SAGECONS, these spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative Christians, believe they have a biblical worldview, but only 44% actually do, according to their own self-revelation in terms of this battery of several dozen questions that look at whether you have a biblical worldview. Are you surprised, Dr. Strand, by that disconnect? 88% of SAGECONS think they have a biblical worldview, but actually only 44% have it.
I can't say that I'm super surprised, no, because as I understand this group from George Barna's research, this is a group that would probably confess to be politically conservative and would have a strong zeal for this country, let's say, being a virtuous and morally upright nation. They'd want God to be featured in our public life. They want Christians to be able to practice their faith. And there's a lot of overlap between such people with a sound disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were getting at this earlier. It's not enough to have the right conservative views. It's wonderful from my vantage point when people understand the value of conservatism. But it's not enough simply, let's say, to believe in religious liberty. It's not enough to be pro-life. It's not enough to want churches to be able to worship, whether the government says they can in a supposed pandemic or not. You have to go beyond that, and you have to be an actual disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the real distinction, Adam. Your thinking is not determined by Fox News. It's not determined by your parents. It's not determined by a good website. These can all be good sources, okay? I'm not scorching them as some do today. But that's not the same thing as your convictions being drawn directly from the Word of God, which is that which norms every aspect of your life. Those two things can look like they are the same, but in reality, they are not the same. And as I understand Dr. Barna's work here, he's trying to say it's not enough simply to be conservative, though there's a lot of overlap between conservatism and Christianity. You have to actually have your views be produced by the Scripture and not by any other source.
80% of born-again Christians claim they have a biblical worldview, but only 19% actually do. A dramatic fall off between the SAGECONS, those who are much more connected with the governance and watching the news and consider themselves conservative politically, compared to the born-agains who trusted Christ as their Savior, but once they've made that profession, it appears as though not a whole lot's going on. Again, 80% of born-again Christians think they have a biblical worldview, but only 19% actually do.
Yeah, and I think that relates to that problem we covered, which is that people make a profession of faith. Again, we're not down on that. We're thrilled with that. Would that more people would profess faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But again, that's not where things stop. That's where things start. I sense myself in my work as a theologian and a trainer of pastors, somebody who speaks to churches on occasion, I sense that people think the exact opposite thing of their faith sometimes. And they need to be challenged in this. All of us need to be challenged as disciples. If you go to the New Testament, if you go to the Gospels, it's remarkable how frequently Jesus challenges people Yes, he also comforts them and he's gentle to them. That's absolutely true. But a lot of his ministry is putting a little prod in a fire and then goading people on and waking them up and jolting them out of their stupor. That's what we all need. And so we need people to understand it is not the stopping point of Christianity to claim Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the starting point. That's go on the Monopoly board. That is when, as a Christian, you put your sails out, full sail out, and you go as far as you can in the knowledge of God through your daily devotions, through your attendance and membership at a local church, putting yourself under a church that has strong preaching, feeding on devotional resources and theological resources as much as you can get. That is the kind of pursuit we want people to undertake as a Christian. When you have that hunger and thirst for the Word of God, that's when you're really manifesting that you are, in fact, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Looking at some of the denominational differences, 81% of evangelicals claim they have a biblical worldview, but only 21% actually do. 73% of those who are Pentecostal or charismatic claim they have a biblical worldview, but only 16% actually do. 69% of mainline Protestants claim they have a biblical worldview, but only 8% do. And 57% of Catholics say they have a biblical worldview, but only 1% actually do. Dr. Strand, what would you say to some of those stats?
It's a sobering survey that you just read out. George Barna's work over the years has been a regular dose of soberness for many of us who are in ministry and who care about the faith of Christians and who want people to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a meaningful way, and who want them to be able to lay hold of sound doctrine and then apply it to their life. But those stats really show us that there is that decided dearth of discipleship in numerous movements that claim the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, not all of them are the same there that you mentioned. Some of them would hold to what I would say is gospel doctrine, and others would reject gospel doctrine. And yet we need to just note that where there is a true confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be hearing people say they want to have a biblical worldview. And then my prayer for the years ahead and my work at FRC as a senior fellow at the Center for Biblical Worldview is that somehow, by hook or by crook, actually all by God's blessing, we can get those numbers up. We can get people to understand not only the importance of having a biblical worldview, but more importantly, the joy of drawing near to God. That's what this is really about. This isn't getting people to answer questions better. We're not just taking a spiritual test at the end of our life as a believer or something. And FRC is here to give you the cliff notes and to pass the test better. This is all about drawing near to God. This is all about the Holy Spirit working in us and giving us a greater zeal for the things of God, which is all grounded in the Word of God. As I hear those stats read, as I think about this in general, all the things we've discussed today, my conclusion is that we will be galvanized as believers to offer meaningful discipleship in our churches, in our Christian schools, in our colleges, in our universities. Here's the thing, Adam. It's not getting easier to be a Christian today. It's getting harder. We should expect that it is going to be harder and harder and harder to be a born-again Christian, a meaningful disciple of Christ in America, in the West, and the entire world. If trends continue, they may not, but if trends continue, I think that's how things are going to go. So it's a great time. We actually have a wonderful opportunity in this time of hardship to draw near to God. And I think that's what these numbers say to me.
I want to conclude with four scriptures and just get your thoughts on them in terms of a biblical worldview. Romans 12, verse 2, in terms of establishing a biblical worldview, Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Secondly, we need to build a biblical worldview. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." We need to seek a Christian worldview. Colossians 2, verse 8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." And finally, we need to secure a Christian worldview. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." As we look at those four kind of foundational biblical worldview scriptures, what comes to your mind?
What leaps out is how distinct Christianity is from the thinking of this world. And that's the reverse of how Christianity is often presented. And I think that is a major reason for why the numbers that George Barna has given us are so staggeringly bad. It is because many Christians are being taught to think that they are not that much different from the world. And in fact, they're being encouraged to present themselves as not that different from the world. When in reality, I think we need to go the opposite way. I think we need to just let the flag of Christianity fly. I don't think we should go out of our way to be weird or freakish or unkind or anything like that. Of course, we should bear the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But those passages you read, those beautiful biblical passages, like a Colossians 2, 8, for example, show us that there is an absolute antithesis, to use a word from apologist Cornelius Van Til, between the world and Christianity. There's an unreconcilable gap between Christ and every other system, between the true Christian faith and every other ideology, worldview, religion, and system. And we need to ground people in that so that they understand that in becoming a Christian, they're not drawing near to the world. I think that's what many people are trained to think. They're going the opposite way. They're going the way of the cross. They're walking toward Golgotha. They're walking toward the place where Christ was crucified. You're not gaining worldly approval and applause in becoming a believer. You're probably at some level going to be hated and persecuted and disliked and become unpopular for being a Christian. If we could give people that understanding, not that that's all we have to say, there's all sorts of things we have to say about becoming a disciple, but if we could anchor them in that, I think they would be a lot better queued up to distinguish their thinking, their worldview, from that of every other system. And that would be a solid rock on which to stand.
Dr. Owen Strand has been my guest, provost and research professor of theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Conway, Arkansas, formerly associate professor of Christian theology at Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, now also a senior fellow alongside Dr. George Barna at the Center for Biblical Worldview, launched this week by Family Research Council. You can learn more at the website frc.org/worldview. FRC for Family Research Council, .org/worldview. Dr. Strand, would you be kind enough to close us in prayer?
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam. Father, I pray for our listeners. I pray that you would drive us all deeper and deeper into the knowledge of you. I pray, Father, that we would not be trying to make ourselves like the world or be liked by the world, but that fundamentally as believers, as those who are called to follow the way of Christ, we would even give up our very lives themselves. And we would confess with the Apostle Paul that Christ is all. Christ is everything to us. We must decrease, but Christ must increase. So help us, Father. Help the churches that we have referenced tangentially in this conversation, in terms of this worldview study, to promote a true Christian faith in which our thinking, our ways, our habits, what we want to do decreases, and instead a zeal for Christ, a love for sound doctrine, a love for holiness and obedience to you, Father, increases. Please do that work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Would love to get your feedback about today's broadcast. Send that to adam@theworldview.com. That's adam@theworldview.com. As we lay down a vision for the next generation.